Crime, Wine, and Chaos contains adult language and graphic content. Listener discretion is advised.
Oh, hey, Chaos Kids. I'm Amber.
And I'm Naomi. Uh-oh. And this is Crime, Wine, and So Much Chaos.
Oh, sister.
I cannot with you today. Oh, my God.
I cannot with me any day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, you guys.
Wow. Wow.
Oh,
hey, girl.
Boy. Hey.
You know, this is why you're prepared for anything, though, right? We can do a quick pivot.
We can do it's pivot. That's the second time that pivot has come up today. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Sister, tell me all the things. What's going on with you? Jesus.
Okay. Where do I start? Okay, so Jade is training for like higher positions in her job, which is great. But
that's
because
fantastic.
Of that, she's learning receiving. And for the next 2 weeks, she has to be at work at 4 a.m., which means she's up at 2:30, which means I get up at 2:30 because I worry about everything. So it gets worse. So I worry about her not waking up. And then, you know, she also shares her location. So I don't go back to bed until I see that she's safely at work.
Which
by the time she's safely at work, it's about an hour before my alarm goes off. So
Amber Ray.
Last night I woke up at 12:30 and was so nervous to go back to sleep and that I wouldn't wake up at 2:30. To get Jade up that I just stayed up. I've been up ever since.
Amber Ray!
And then I worked all day and then went and did my car thing and then came home and made dinner and now I'm podcasting. I get a pass sister. When I'm like ready to go with my crime story and you're like, you're not crime this week. I'm like, okay.
You guys, she almost let me think that I was the one that got it wrong.
I know. And based on what I
just
described,
let that ride.
Like, why would I even think that I had it right? There's no indication that I should have anything.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'll own that.
Because at this point, with the amount of sleep you haven't had, you're firmly moving into the drunk phase of sleep deprivation, which is a real thing. Look it up, you guys. It is not good.
Well, great. That'll save on my wine.
And this is what happens. This is what happens. Yeah. All right. Great.
What about you?
I'm just tired.
Oh. Well, I mean, me too. You just don't feel the need to make it as long-winded as me. I see.
Well, I don't have, quite the tale that you have. I've just worked a lot and had a very long week. That's my story. That's it. Mm-hmm. You guys, that's all I got.
Also did work a lot. You don't have the anxiety that I have, and I envy you.
I don't really do anxiety. It's true.
I don't do anxiety. Like
really
in
don't.
Soccer.
Don't do it. Nope. I'm not gonna do it.
I'm soups into it. Well, oh shit.
What are you drinking too? You're drinking on top of all of this. What are you drinking?
Thank you. Wow.
Don't look at me like that.
You're passing judgment on top of all of this. I don't need that today.
No, I'm just concerned. That's all. It's just
me too.
Concern. It's just love
Fuck,
and concern.
Me too. Well, I'm drinking this red blend from Portugal that I've had many times on the pod before. The Casa Santos Lima is one of my favorites. It's delicious.
Oh, great.
You know what? I'll just go nighty night.
You should. That's exactly what you should do. Just wait until we're done.
Oh, okay.
I want you to listen to my whole story and then tell me a story. Then you can sleep. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
But if anything looks sus, I'm just resting my eyes. Okay.
Right. Did we need to shout out any new patrons? I think we have a new patron or two.
We have two new patrons. We do. We do. Do you want to take the reins or would you like me to?
I closed out the window. So
oh, I understand. So big, that's okay. I'm pulling it up. Big shout out to Amy.
Great.
Thank you.
Amy!
What?
Amy.
And Noelle.
Noelle. Our Florida friend, right?
Our proud Florida friend. Yeah. She's the first Noelle. See what I did there?
Yeah. Oh, that's cute. That's cute. Okay. Thank you, ladies, for joining the Chaos Kids Club, and we'll get that virtual wine night going. Promise. We've got it all planned out. We'll send out that info. And if you guys want to, if you're not part of the Chaos Kids Club yet and you want to be a part of virtual wine night, then what are you waiting for? Go to Patreon and sign up. It's $5 a month. Get some bonus content and then come hang out with us once in a while in a Zoom call. And
yeah, I promise I'll even be well-rested beforehand.
Be chaotic. Mm-hmm. You promise?
Yeah, I promise.
Will you take a nap if you have to?
Okay. Yes, I will. I'm here for it. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Great. Great. I'm going to tell you a horrible crime.
Great. Love it.
Are you here for it? Okay.
I am.
I'm doing another shout out. Got to do a shout out to Crime, Wine, and Chaos family member Joshua M. Davis, who sent me this story.
Our podcast artist.
That's exactly right. And I believe the word he used to describe this was juicy. And it's a pretty gnarly one. So let's get into it.
Great.
All right. So I'm going to tell you about Bart and Krista Helderson. Have you heard of them?
That sounds familiar.
Okay. Well, they were both born in Wisconsin. Bart was born in Sheboygan in 1971. I love the name Sheboygan.
Oh my God. It's so funny. Okay, I heard Michael use the word boink the other day, which I haven't heard in so long. And when you said that, the first thing that popped in my head was Sheboygan. Like knocking the boots.
my old friend from school way back when that used to live down the street from us, Jessica, her mom, Linda, was from Sheboygan.
Really? That is a fun name.
Yeah, it's fun. Anyway, so Bart was born in Sheboygan in 1971. Krista was born in Madison in 1968. They both attended college at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm not sure where or when they met, but they got married in 1994. Bart was a certified accountant, you know.
Yeah.
Good work if you can get it. And once their boys were born, Mitchell in 1996 and Chandler in 1998, Krista stayed home to take care of her family.
Chandler.
So, yes. In 1998, I'm pretty sure that was like peak Friends, right? 1998 was like peak Friends.
Yeah. Also, she's a little bit, I mean, not by today's standards, but a little bit late into motherhood. What is she, 30 when she has her?
Well, let's see. She was born in 68. Had Mitchell in 96, so 28 and 30, it looks like. Wow. Yeah, something like that.
Good for her.
When the boys got older, Krista decided to go back to work, and she found a role as an administrative assistant at an auto shop of some sort.
Okay.
So by all accounts, the Haldersons were a typical American family. They lived in Windsor, which was a suburb of Madison, Wisconsin. And Bart and Krista raised their two sons and spent time with friends doing fun things. They attended football games and concerts, actively supported community organizations like the Kiwanis and Boy Scouts, amongst others. Bart was super into golf and working on projects around the house. Krista liked to do crafts and decorate the house and cook new recipes. Everything about their lives was pretty normal. They were all considered lovely people.
It sounds very ideal.
So totally. Just middle America, right? Mm-hmm. So leading into the summer of 2021, so this was not that long ago, Mitchell, who was now 24, had a great job in the tech industry and a beautiful fiance. And Chandler, who was now 23, was attending Madison College studying for an IT degree. Chandler was still living at home while he worked and studied for his degree. He had a good job working from home that he picked up during the pandemic, and he was working for an insurance company. He also had a girlfriend that all the Haldersons really liked, Catherine Melendar. Everyone called her Cat.
Oh, cute.
So Chandler and Chat.
You just shipped them.
I did. I just shipped them. Yeah. Chandler and Kat at this point had been dating for about 2 years. Kat really got along well with Bart and Krista. She said they were welcoming and loving, and she and Krista would share cooking tips and holiday ideas. And Kat found the Halderson home to be happy and thriving and a place that she really enjoyed spending time. I think Kat still lived with her parents on a large piece of property, a farm that they owned a few miles away from the Haldersons.
Okay.
Bart and Krista were very excited when Chandler announced that he had landed a job at SpaceX.
SpaceX?
Mm-hmm. Elon Musk's space company, right? His spaceship company or whatever.
His spaceship company. Sure.
Fucking Elon Musk. And he and Kat were planning a big move together down to Florida. But just a couple months before Chandler and Kat were set to move, Chandler had a really serious fall down a flight of stairs.
Aww.
Apparently, he was home alone when this happened, but he managed to get himself to an ER to get checked out because he hit his head pretty hard.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Tests and scans showed a severe concussion, and there was the possibility he may need surgery from some severe nerve damage.
Oh.
Pictures around that time show him wearing a neck brace after the accident. So
God, right before something cool is about to happen for him, that's fucking awful.
Yeah, and I know. And because of this big injury, flying would not be possible. And so the trip to Florida had to be canceled. And the job was not going to be waiting for him if he didn't show up. So their exciting new life in Florida was no longer on the table.
Oh, that's awful.
So on July 2nd, 2021, Krista didn't show up for work, which was, of course, really unusual. And her coworker and friend, Daniel Kroninger, was worried. He tried calling her and got no response. So he went over to the Haldersons' home. There, he spoke with Chandler, who told Daniel that his parents had left for the 4th of July weekend. They were with friends at the Haldersons' family cabin.
Okay.
But when Bart and Krista did not return after the end of the 4th of July weekend, Daniel urged Chandler to call the police and report them missing.
Uh-oh.
On Wednesday, July 7th, Chandler called the police and reported his parents missing to the Dane County Sheriff's Office. He told them that they had left on the 2nd of July early in the morning before he even got up to head up to the family cabin, which was a few hours drive from their home. It was in Langlade County in northern Wisconsin. And they left with another couple who was presumably spending the weekend with them. And Chandler said he didn't really know these people.
That's strange.
Yeah. So Chandler told the sheriff's office that,
And his brother and his girlfriend are at the cabin too?
No, I'm not sure where they are. They're not. Okay. They didn't go to the cabin. I think they live around there, but they don't live with Bart and Krista.
Okay.
So like they're not really in this part of what's going on.
Okay.
So Chandler told the sheriff's office that his last text exchange was with his mom on the 4th, and that she had said that she and Bart would be home either Monday night the 5th or Tuesday morning the 6th. So this would be the day after that he's called the police to report them missing.
Got it.
He even shared a text message he had received from her saying that they had arrived at the cabin. So the police launch into a missing persons investigation, and they see that both Bart and Krista's cars are in the driveway, which Chandler explained was because this unknown couple were the ones that were driving to the cabin and had come and picked Bart and Krista up.
Hmm.
At the same time as the police are investigating, Chandler is going door to door asking his neighbors if they've seen or heard from his parents.
Yeah.
So the next day, the 8th, Mitchell drives up to the cabin to go look for his parents, right?
Okay.
The sheriffs met him there and they searched the property, and it became clear that no one had been to the cabin in a really long time. There were no signs of Bart or Krista at the cabin.
Yeah.
So now the cops are interviewing friends and neighbors, and they are starting to think that Chandler's story is not adding up, and they pick him up for more questioning.
Mm-hmm.
They had collected video images from Ring cameras and security cameras in the neighborhood, and it was apparent that Bart and Krista never left their home on Friday.
Oh, God.
Also, they could see in one of the videos flickering from the Haldersons' fireplace on Friday afternoon in the middle of summer.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
In this interview, which lasted about 2 hours, Chandler tells a different story. He says his parents were going up to the cabin for a plumbing emergency and that he had even helped them pack tools for repairs.
All of a sudden, it's a plumbing emergency?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
As the police press him further about his parents' disappearance, Chandler clams up and asks for a lawyer, effectively ending the interview. Mm. While they were in the middle of this interview, the sheriffs get a call from Kat's parents. They tell the sheriffs that they had spent time with Chandler at their farm over the 4th of July weekend when he was there with Kat. They enjoyed fireworks, swam in the family pool, and had a great weekend. According to Kat, she said Chandler was able to exercise his legs in the pool, helping him with his recovery from the injuries that he sustained in the fall. Mm-hmm. But her parents said on the 5th, he came back out to their house without Kat, and he asked if he could use the pool.
Okay.
They said he could, although they thought it was odd because he'd never been to their house without Kat before.
Yeah, I just got the tingles. Like, I got just like imagining being her parents. That sounds really awkward and uncomfortable. Like, what do you do? Like,
what are you doing? Yeah.
That's like weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a little while later, they went to check on him and he wasn't in the pool. So instead, they found him in an overgrown area beyond the pool, right at the edge of where the property becomes bushes and forest. Mm. His SUV was parked there as well with the hatch open and up.
What the fuck,
And I know they thought it was weird, but they didn't probably really think too much of it until it started to sink in the following week that Bart and Krista were clearly really missing.
Oh my God. This guy. Okay. Wow. What a thing to do to your girlfriend's parents.
Right?
God.
Detectives immediately head to Kat's family's farm and they started a thorough search, and then they find something. Just beyond the tree line, covered with some loose branches and undergrowth, the torso of a man.
No. Oh God, I just got chills. Yes.
Nearby, an overturned black garbage can that had no reason to be there. An old metal drum barrel with one side cut out.
Oh God, drum barrels are no good. No good.
Just like, what the fuck with the drum barrels? Mm-hmm. And inside the barrel, some tools, a pair of scissors, a hacksaw, and a broken saw blade, all spattered red.
Oh my God.
After this discovery, police arrested Chandler Halderson, initially on a charge of providing false information regarding a missing person. Mm. An autopsy on the torso confirmed 2 days later that it was Bart Halderson, and he had been shot in the abdomen twice from behind, injuries that would absolutely have killed him.
Oh my God. His dad? Oh.
Mm-hmm. Chandler is arrested and charged with murder, dismemberment of a corpse, and concealing a homicide by hiding the body. Kat, the poor dear, still believed Chandler was innocent and continued to offer investigators her assistance to help prove his innocence.
Oh, Kat. What do her parents think of that?
I mean, I don't know what her parents think of that, but can you? No, I cannot imagine.
Stand by your man. No. Too far, Kat. Oh, God.
So Kat gave the police permission to download her phone data.
Okay.
Kat had been suspicious that Chandler may have been cheating on her, and she frequently tracked his location through Snapchat.
Oh, okay.
On her phone, police found a screenshot she grabbed from Snap on July 3rd showing Chandler's location near the Wisconsin River at a spot Chandler went to often because it was his favorite place to go swimming. Hmm. Off to another outdoor search, and it was there that partial remains of Krista Halderson were found.
Oh, no.
So now Chandler is charged with the murder of his mom, too.
Oh, my God. I have so many questions.
I know. As the forensic team processed the Halderson's home, the picture became clearer and more horrifying. Blood deposits in the basement, all around the house, really. Fragments of a human skull and hundreds of small pieces of human bones in the fireplace.
Oh, God. Why? Why?
Oh, we'll get into it.
Oh, fuck.
On Chandler's phone, police found numerous Google searches dated between June 30th and July 8th for topics including Wisconsin dismembered body found, woman's body found in Wisconsin, and body found in Wisconsin. Krista's phone was found in the Halderson home.
See, that just gives me the chills that he's texting himself from her phone to say that they've arrived at the cabin.
That's right.
It's so creepy. And also, what's with the fucking killers and their Google searches? These idiots.
Seriously. Every time.
Every fucking time. How to kill someone. I didn't do that. That ain't
garbage
me.
Bags near me. Like, do they not know about grocery stores?
I know.
Uh-huh. There's a Safeway like 3 blocks away, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of Chandler's friends told investigators he had gifted Chandler a rifle in June. And a rifle was Chandler's weapon of choice in the first-person shooter games he liked to play. The rifle was later found hidden behind a board in a barn on Kat's parents' property.
He is using his girlfriend's parents as his fucking dumping ground. That is awful.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, no.
It was identified as Chandler's and as a positive match for the murder weapon that killed his father. Krista's autopsy could not reveal a cause of death. It seems they only ever found her legs.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God. This is making me sick. Just dismembering your parents.
Yes.
What? Oh, my God. Okay.
So 6 months later, January 4th, 2022, Chandler's murder trial began. He had opted for a speedy trial, and this is when a fuller picture was revealed of what was going on in the months prior to Bart and Krista's murder.
Okay.
Around the time that Chandler announced that he and Kat would not be moving to Florida for that SpaceX job, Bart was getting pretty frustrated with Chandler. He was working for this insurance company, but he never had any money, and he wasn't paying Bart and Krista any rent. Hmm. Now, that's pretty typical for a young adult that's in college. I don't know why they would be requiring him to pay them rent, but I guess that's the deal that they had. I don't know. I mean, listen, I don't know.
Go back to 2 minutes and 40 seconds in. I have been up since yesterday.
Well, technically not. Technically, just the very beginning of today.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, yeah. So Chandler had explanations for this, for not having money. He said there was a mix-up with his paychecks and that the insurance company had him down as an hourly employee instead of a salaried employee. And then he said they had incorrect direct deposit information. And then he said that the back pay they owed him from all these mix-ups was so large that the bank was not accepting the deposit because they were thinking it was fraudulent.
Come on, dude.
And Bart is an accountant, so he's super skeptical, right?
Yeah, like, that doesn't even sound believable.
This is not adding up. Mm-hmm. In addition, he and Krista had started asking Chandler for his certificates from college. Uh-oh. So he was looped in by Chandler to an email thread with the college administration, who claimed there was a holdup of some kind. And after much back and forth through email, Bart was getting really pissed, and he thought that the college was withholding the certificates. So he just picked up the phone and called the admissions office directly. As the prosecutors revealed these events in court, a whole new truth began to unfold. No. Chandler never completed his college courses. He wasn't enrolled in any of the classes he said he was. And in fact, he owed the college thousands of dollars. Chandler had faked those emails from the college to his dad.
Oh, my God.
The names on those. Yes. The names on those emails were of people that didn't even exist. That remote job.
Sorry, I have a really dumb question. But you're like the tech queen, so maybe you know. This is not the first time I've heard of this. How does one create an email that I presume ends in like amber at uw.edu? Like, how do you create that?
I'm sure it's not as hard as you think it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or he was doing this like go-between. Maybe he was doing this go-between. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So that remote job he had. No. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It can be done.
Yeah.
That remote job he had with an insurance company, that didn't exist. He spent his days playing video games. He did not have a job.
He had no job.
So obviously the SpaceX job didn't exist.
Mm-hmm. You're probably going to tell me, but did he actually fall down the stairs? because he was home alone.
His
right?
big fall, his big fall that caused him all those medical problems wasn't what he claimed either. Oh, he did God. Go to the ER. He was diagnosed with a mild concussion and given a neck brace, but he required no further treatment.
Wow. This is a plot twist because initially I was thinking, and but then it was like, I don't know what the lag time is from when a person has a TBI to when they can become like aggressive. I was thinking that that's where you were going with this.
Right.
That he kind of went, kind of lost it.
But. Like he, right.
Okay. All right.
So the last text Bart sent to Chandler said, quote, "Ready when you are." Oh, Bart had planned a meeting with the school and was taking Chandler there with him. He was going to the admissions office and he was going to take Chandler to the admissions office to sort this stuff out. This that was July 1st.
Chills, ready when you are. Oh, God.
And this is what prosecutors believe was the reason Chandler murdered his parents. As soon as his dad got the truth from the college, all the other lies would unravel. Chandler's defense attorneys argued that no one could say for sure that he was the one who killed Bart and Krista. Maybe something happened to them. Someone else killed them. And he panicked and dismembered them and covered up for someone else.
This mystery couple. That's yes. who did it.
This is Chandler's defense.
Well, what else is he going to do?
Except surveillance footage shows Chandler buying a tarp and 20 pounds of ice at a local store. The tarp was found in the garage at Kat's parents' house.
Oh my God, this guy is so fucking stupid.
And those scissors and saw blades they found in that barrel did have blood on them that matched Bart and Krista. The prosecution's theory, based on where all the blood was found in the house, is that after he murdered Bart and Krista, probably both of them were shot with the rifle, Chandler took their bodies to the basement for the dismemberment.
Oh, God.
His brother testified that his parents had a $1 million life insurance policy that would have been split between the two brothers. And Kat tearfully took the witness stand for the prosecution as well.
Okay. Was she subpoenaed and she had to, or has she finally?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like at some point she had to come to terms with the truth, right?
Yeah.
The defense team didn't put up much of a defense, did not call any witnesses, and mostly gave statements like, "What you don't know is evidence too." Which really just mostly confused everybody in the courtroom. Yeah.
If you don't know, now you know.
It's the unknown unknowns, you know?
Yeah. Really tripping people up with those double negatives.
It took the jury 2 hours to deliberate and find Chandler Halderson guilty of both murders. He was sentenced in 2022 to life in prison without the possibility of parole. He is expected to appeal his conviction. Chandler, for his part, when confronted with the truth, he told detectives, quote, "You don't know the whole story," and that he, quote, "didn't feel bad about what he did."
Holy shit.
Then as I was getting ready to wrap, I found an article from 3 weeks ago that Chandler appeared in court on an appeal where two of his charges, two counts of concealing a corpse, those convictions were vacated. It has something to do with the state law because he was already convicted for the dismemberment. What do you call it? Like abuse of a corpse or whatever it's called or whatever. And the concealing a corpse is a lesser charge that is implied in that greater charge. And so you can't convict him on that charge, but it doesn't change anything about his sentence or whatever.
Right.
So his defense is currently working on his next appeal, which will be his actual appeal for his murder charges.
Sure. Okay. Wow. Fuck.
And that is the murder of Bart and Krista Halderson by their son, Chandler.
Jesus Christ. That is the third story that I know of now where it was a young adult who was pretending to go to college and their...
Yes!
The answer to the problem was to kill the parents. What
yes!
the fuck?
Yes! There was that one that was that one young gal who had the boyfriend that was like a secret.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. I can't remember her name, but I know that one for sure.
They were actually out celebrating his college graduation, and his parents got him a Rolex. And
oh my God,
there was no college graduation. Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, by the way, just like fair warning, I accidentally stumbled upon pictures of Bart's dismembered torso, like in the brush.
Oh, so don't Google
that. So be careful out there, kids. Chaos kids, do not Google that.
That is terrible.
Oh, it's horrible. I cannot unsee it. It's like when I saw the skin suit. I don't need to see that. I don't need to see that shit.
Okay.
Close this out. Okay. All right. Hey, Sissy, you have a chaos story for me?
I do. I've got a chaos.
Because you're in charge of chaos this week.
No, just I figured that record out. Thank you. Well, it's a good thing I had one. And, you know, I've always got a chaos in my back pocket.
Well, I mean, you just are chaos. You are the queen of chaos. So you just always carry chaos with you everywhere you go.
Well, you know what? That's funny you should say that, because I was just going to tell you all about my week and call that my chaos story.
That's perfect. Let's go.
Okay. No, I'm just kidding. All right. I'm going to tell you about a con.
Oh, I kind of like love hate a con.
You do?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love hate it. Like I want to hear about it because it's kind of like a train wreck. But at the same time, for some reason, the con is like pisses me off more than, well, maybe more than it should. I don't know. It just gets, really? It gets me all riled up. Like, I just want to go like throat punch a fucking con man. Anyway, go for it. Tell me about a con.
Okay. So this is the largest coupon fraud case ever.
Coupon?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So this is Virginia Beach. Lori Talens, she's a Filipino American and a military kid. She spends her childhood moving around quite a bit, and eventually her family settles in Virginia Beach.
Okay.
But because they moved around so much, Lori was really able to adapt to new situations and people really well.
Mm-hmm.
And she is very driven, very smart, and, you know, all the things. So
yeah,
she's really business savvy. And as a teenager, she taught herself how to work on cars.
Oh,
like really fucking cool.
Okay.
But she's also really, really beautiful. So this evolves into being a car model.
Oh,
just like, that's fun, right?
And all she right. I mean, that's a job. Yeah.
That's a job. That's a calendar. She brought other women into the field and eventually became an agent.
Like an agent for models, like a modeling agent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yep. So having her own business led her into the field of marketing and advertising, and she soon learned graphic design, and she became very good at it.
Right on.
That's like a weird, what do you call it? I don't know. Your story was from Joshua, who is a graphic designer, and now I'm doing a con about a graphic designer. It's like so weird. It's more weird because I'm tired. That's the word. I was like, you know, when it's like energy, but not, it's like there, it starts different. Fuck my life.
Yep. You're not just tired. You're wasted. Keep going. Mm.
Okay. So
Amber is my favorite Amber.
Oh man, we love her. In 2010, Lori marries her boyfriend Pacifico, and the couple have two kids. So they're making well into the six figures at this point. Lori's friends describe her as someone who had it all. She was beautiful, successful, a wonderful mother. She loved to cook. She was always dressed to the nines. She's that
lady. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. She's making me feel inadequate already.
Oh my God. I know. I'm like, what are we calling the nines? Is that leggings and a t-shirt? Because I'm also crushing it.
I'm like dressing to the threes. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do know what you mean. Why is it to the nines anyway?
I don't know, but I can't make it to nine. That's a hard number to hit. That's a lot of work.
The threes. I don't think I own anything in the nines.
I mean, I might have something that's like maybe an eight, you know, like right on the edge of, right on the edge of an eight.
Totally.
But I can't make it to nine because I don't have what it takes to like, accessorize that to make it to 9, you know? Oh, like I,
yeah,
yeah,
I do know. Yeah. I do know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. So in 2014, she gets pregnant with her third child and she's put on bed rest after being diagnosed with edema.
Okay.
So even though Pacifico did work, Lori was the breadwinner. So adjusting to living on only his salary was difficult.
Sure.
So while she's on bed rest, she's getting a little bored, right? And one day she's flipping mm-hmm. through the channels and she sees the show Extreme Couponing.
Oh, yes. I've not fully watched these shows, but I've seen enough to know. These people have like entire like levels of their house sometimes, like basements or like lower levels or giant like extra rooms that are like these pantries full of like 50 bottles of mustard and shit, right? Because yes. they had the coupons.
Right.
It's crazy, man. It's
so wild. Oh my God.
I just don't understand. It's some version of hoarding, really. It's a version of hoarding. Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's weirdly satisfying to watch that show, though.
Well, when they get so to the hoarders. There's...
Well, that's not satisfying. You think that's satisfying?
Well, sometimes there's some satisfaction in it. And when they clean up the place, it's satisfying. Some of the things they find, maybe it's more like Schadenfreude. Never mind.
Okay. No, it's not. Moving on. Okay. Fuck. Okay.
I'm a horrible person. Don't mind me.
You are not. You are not. You're a 3.
Solid 3.
You're a solid 3. You own that. Okay. So she's on bed rest watching Extreme Couponing and she decides that that's something that she can do from her bed.
Yeah.
It'll help her family save some money, right?
Yeah.
So she gets pretty into extreme couponing and she uses her new talent to sort of spread the love. So she buys a whole bunch of shit, right? But she donates to local animal shelters and churches and regularly brings over bags of various items to friends and neighbors. She's supposed to be on bed rest, so I don't really know how that's happening, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, she sounds like the kind of gal that is hard to keep down, you know?
Totes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's like a whole community of coupon people.
Sure. There's Facebook groups, I'm sure. There's boards where they message each other. Yep. And of course.
Right. They chat and swap coupons and give mm-hmm. tips on where good coupons are found.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's also a dark side to couponing.
I mean, of course, we just talked about it. There's a hoarding going on here at the very least, right? Like...
Well, there's also a lot of counterfeit coupons that are floating around.
I mean, look, you're going to be hard pressed to make me care about counterfeit coupons. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't care at all, but.
Okay, great.
I'm going to tell you all about it anyway.
Tell me about it.
So one day someone from a coupon group reaches out to Lori. They knew that she had been in marketing and was a graphic designer. So they send her the counterfeit coupon that they made and ask for her feedback. And she takes one look at it and she's like, this is fucking crap. And she decides that she can do better.
Mm-hmm. Of course she can.
By the next day, she had a counterfeit coupon that looked just like the real one. So she sends it back to the admin of this group and they're super impressed. And they ask Lori if she would like to do more and get paid. So she's like, fuck. Yeah, I'm doing this from my bed.
See, and she doesn't have to go anywhere to do that. Uh-uh. There's no shopping anywhere in any store involved. She can just do that on her laptop in her pajamas.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she is able to get so good that she can create a coupon for anything. She even learns how to do the barcodes exactly right so that they scan at the register and work.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Not too long after Lori starts this business, her and Pacifico are buying luxury cars. They start doing home renovations and her friends Jesus.
That's like, this is from couponing? This is from scamming on coupons? Mm-hmm. How much are these people paying her?
Well, it sounds like, I think this is later on in the story, but it sounds like she got to a point where you remember those entertainment books?
Yes.
She was basically making those and selling them.
Oh.
Like packets.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So apparently there's a coupon like FBI.
What?
They're called the CIC, the Coupon Information Center.
Stop it.
And there's like federal agents. I'm not kidding.
Stop it. Brody, I'm a federal agent. Seriously?
Yes.
What? I'm a federal agent. With what? What? You're FBI? No, I'm CIC. What?
Yeah, like mall cop.
What?
Yeah.
Federal agents. We spend federal tax dollars on tracking down, what's her name again?
Lori.
Lori's because of coupons.
Yep. 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 It's a whole community, Neil.
Okay.
So one day.
What are you doing over there?
I had to get something out of my purse. Everything is very wrong with me right now.
What do you get? Oh. Why was that even in your purse? It should have been in your hand the whole time.
I have several. This one died. I had to get the next one. Okay,
fine.
So June 2017, the executive director of the CIC gets an email saying, I know someone who is creating a lot of counterfeit coupons. Please call me.
So cryptic.
I know.
So dramatic.
Uh-huh. Yep. Okay. So he learns that these counterfeit coupons are being produced by someone who is using the name Master Chef. I can't.
So good.
And these coupons are really fucking good.
Uh-huh.
They're being redeemed all over the country.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Coupon Cop, he doesn't know who Master Chef is.
Coupon Cop.
So
sorry, that's just too much.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. So in addition to the coupon FBI, there's also a male FBI.
Well, yeah, because, you know, fucking with mail is a federal offense.
Right. So these two agencies start working together.
They team up.
Mm-hmm.
Like Team America.
Correct.
Okay.
So Master Chef is operating on the dark web.
Okay.
This is a whole fucking lifestyle. The dark web of coupons.
Okay.
Right. So they're like, well, the best way to catch whoever this is through a mail investigation. So after explaining the situation to the mail cop, they decide that they're going to go after this as mail fraud. Right. That's
okay.
The best approach. So meanwhile, Lori is busy making more coupons. She has thousands of people that are buying coupons from her, and her husband is working as her assistant.
So he's not even working his actual job anymore. He quit his job to assist her in this
family business now.
In the counterfeit coupon trade.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's not just making manufactured coupons. She's also making like gift cards for restaurants.
Oh, shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So by the summer of 2018, a full fucking investigation is underway. It's the mail cop, the coupon cop, and the FBI cyber unit.
Oh, so now, okay. Now we're getting the real cops.
We've got the trifecta of cops here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. By 2019, they're able to finally meet with the source who first reported the coupon, that cryptic message.
Deep throat.
Deep throat. That was nowhere in the story.
That's like,
what?
No, it was Seymour Hersh and that other reporter way back in the 70s when they got the Watergate scandal. Their like anonymous source was called Deep Throat.
I was scrolling back through my notes. I'm like, was it Deep Throat? I don't remember that. Oh my God.
This is so absurd. Okay.
I know. You know what's the most absurd is where I got this was on a show hosted by Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, I think I've seen that show on Netflix. Yeah. No, Hulu. I've seen it. I've passed it. I've seen it in passing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, they track down Deep Throat and and this person tells the Fed trifecta that Master Chef had sent him a picture of the available coupons.
Okay.
So this source, this customer, was able to find the latitude and longitude on the metadata from the picture.
Yep.
And provide it to the feds.
Yep.
And it leads them to a home in Virginia Beach. And of course, this is our friend Lori and
Pacifica. She's Master Chef.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. But they still need more evidence before they can make an arrest. So the agents survey the home. And they see a building inspector permit on the front door. So they contact the city contractors that have done work on the home. And one of the contractors tells the agent how nice Lori is and says, she even gave me a bunch of meal coupons for a local restaurant.
Oh, isn't she sweet?
Mm-hmm. He's like, I still have a few in my truck.
Oh.
So, yeah. So he hands those over to the agents. And of course, those are counterfeit.
Of course.
They also talk to her mail carrier, and the mail carrier says that they regularly get large stacks of envelopes with the name Master Chef.
Oh.
She's using her home mailbox, rookie.
Seriously.
Uh-huh. So the last piece that they needed was proof that Lori was the one putting the envelopes in the mailbox. So they set up a camera on the telephone pole next to her house, and they're able to catch footage of Lori putting these envelopes in the mailbox and putting the flag up.
Mm. Well, you got to put the flag up, or how else will the mail carrier know that there's mail in there?
He wouldn't know.
There's no other way to know.
No. Do you think if you don't put your flag up and they open it and there's stuff in there, they ignore it?
They totally ignore it. You have to put the flag up. If you don't have a flag, you don't have mail.
And that's a fact. If you don't have a flag, you don't have mail. Oh my God. Okay. Well, she put the flag up.
Good for her.
Oh, okay. So speaking of hoarding, they get a search warrant for the home. And when they go inside, they find counterfeit coupons in every part of the house.
What?
Every drawer, pockets and clothing in her car. Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's just like Scrooge McDuck's like vault, but it's coupons.
It's raining coupons in there.
It's raining coupons. Hallelujah.
God. You know, I am always shocked at the ones that end up being funny.
This is hilarious.
Good. So they take her computer and cell phone, and she had 13,000 images of coupons on her computer.
Whoa.
I know. When Lori sits down to talk with her attorney, she provides all of the information, how she did it, if she had an accomplice, how she received payment.
Like she told him everything?
She did, yeah. And her husband, Pacifico, also confesses to helping run the business. After all of the evidence was gone through, it was determined that the total loss for companies was $31
million. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Fuck.
But I mean, it was like Olive Garden, right?
It was like all that mustard, you know?
Yeah, it was like Olive Garden and French's. They're fine.
They're fine. Yep.
They're fine.
Yeah, they were both charged with mail fraud, and Lori was also charged with wire fraud. It was the largest coupon fraud ever recorded in the U.S. Lori was sentenced to 12 years in prison, and Pacifica was sentenced to 7 years in prison.
Whoa! Yeah.
And they have three little kids.
What value is served in putting those two in prison?
None. I mean,
we're safer now because those two are spending like a decade in prison.
No. I mean, okay, listen. This is okay. When you were talking about like, oh, sometimes I get pissed when I read about cons, like I'm always weirdly rooting for the con artist.
It depends on the con and who they're conning.
Well, here's the thing. My opinion, which may be not popular, is I would even, I don't want to say it's a victimless crime, but the companies are fine, I guess, if you want to call the companies victims, they are. But, and actually for people who maybe like don't have a lot of income, she was helping people and harming big corporations.
It depends on the con and who they're conning. When you're talking about like those love con guys who like,
oh no, that's fucked.
Steal women's money until they're like, you know, they've got debt collectors at their door because they've taken out mortgages that they can't pay anymore and lost their jobs because of these guys or whatever, right? Like that's a whole other kind of like shit con man, right?
Right. Yes.
But yeah, like Lori and her and Pacifico, like helping people get a free fucking soup salad and breadsticks at fucking Olive Garden. Like, I don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit either. This was like one of like the, my biggest issues with working in like the legal arena was like, I guess for, you're supposed to leave morals out of it, which I suppose it's supposed to help us, but it also hinders us because the reality is like, if I steal your purse, that's the same crime as if I steal bread from Safeway, but it's not the fucking same. It's not the same. But legally it is, you know?
In fact, you know, there's a lot of like commentary in certain circles that's basically like, if you saw somebody stealing food, no, you didn't.
Exactly. No, you didn't. Yeah.
Right.
It's shitty.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Wow.
That's the coupon con.
Sister, that was excellent. I don't like the ending. I don't like the ending because I don't think that Lori and Pacifico should be in prison, but
I don't either.
That was a good laugh. I needed that. Now I can really go to sleep. You know what I mean?
I love that for you. Yeah.
I love that for you too. Yeah. I want you to get some sleep.
I'm going to.
Do we have anything for the good of the order?
No, just keep your, oh my God, my phone just beeped at me that it's bedtime.
Like you needed to be told.
I know. Keep your eyes out for the virtual wine night. If you're not a chaos kid, get on it.
Get on it. Hang out with us. You know, go find us on all the things. We're on the Facebook and the Instagram and the Twitters. You can follow me at Twitter, at Miss Nomers. And hey, if you are a listener, and we know you are because you're listening right now and you are enjoying yourself, go rate our podcast, please. We're begging you, especially on Apple.
You stole my thoughts.
You know what? Maybe even write a nice little review so people know what they're getting into. That would be lovely.
Yeah.
So there's that. Oh, and you know what? If you have something you want to tell us, if you have a story you think we should cover, if you have hate mail for me or love letters for Amber, you can send us an email. It is crimewineandchaos@gmail.com. And we will read that email and we will talk about it with each other. And then we will respond to you because we love mail.
That's right. That's right.
Don't do it fraudulently. No mail fraud. We don't want you guys getting in trouble.
No.
Don't mail us from a .edu that isn't real or send us coupons that you made at home.
Don't make us call the coupon cops.
No coupon cops here. Although ACAB, we wouldn't actually call the coupon cops. Don't worry about that.
We wouldn't call the coupon cops.
Wow. Sister, we're exhausted and that was fucking chaotic.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Crime, Wine, and Chaos is produced by 8th Direction Records. Artwork by Joshua M. Davis. Music by Paul Abner. If you would like to support the show, you can visit our Patreon page at crimewineandchaos.com/Patreon. Cheers!
What the fuck with the drum barrels?
All of a sudden, it's a plumbing emergency?